We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. In hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Grinders, welcome to Roto Grinders today. I'm Jordan Cooper, aka Blender Ed, Blender HD. You're gonna follow me on Twitter. And it's Tuesday, April 2nd. We'll be taking a look at tonight's 8-game NHL DFS slate. But we got tons of stuff here at Roto Grinders. Even if you're not playing NHL, you could obviously simply just bet the props in NHL. We got projections for that. We got baseball going on. Well, Grinders Live will be on later today and crunch time for all of your baseball needs. Although, stick around to the end. I've been giving out some home run props during the show that I personally have been taking, and they've been going pretty well. So stick around. I got a doozy. I got a long shot doozy, one that doesn't make any sense. But P.S. I use the back projection, so it's not like I'm doing anything that's proprietary to me. So feel free to pick those up. rotogrinders.com/the-bat. Hit that thumbs up button on your way in the door. Let's see if my voice holds up till the end of the show. It's been getting better. Join with me on this Tuesday. Since it's a Tuesday, you have to go with the alliteration. Taylor is L. Tuesdays with Taylor. Thursdays with Tim. Tim's coming up on Thursday. And we have an NHL slate tonight that, oddly enough, it's only 8 games. Typically, I'm used to like 12, 13-game slates. And it's kind of missing a lot of the star players.
Yeah, it's kind of gross on the surface. When you look at it, there's no obvious spots, as opposed to last night where all the stars were out. It's limited in the star power. So in a way, I think it's more intriguing just because there aren't those obvious spots that everyone's going to go to. But when you look at it, you just kind of have to hold your nose in a lot of cases and find some of the good spots because there really aren't any great ones.
Yeah, I get a sense that lineup construction today, it'll be more of a balanced approach. I mean, you got Pastrnak up top, Kaprizov at 9,400. You got Jack Hughes at 8,500. From a price consideration standpoint, like, I'm not necessarily sure if any, like, there's maybe three or four teams that may get a little bit outsized ownership. but nothing like out insane. From a price consideration standpoint, would you consider the top team on the slate to actually be the Devils?
Yeah, I do. And I mean, unfortunately, I think that's going to be the consensus. But as I was researching last night, they stand out as sort of the, you know, solid floor, decent ceiling. And I think you kind of nailed it, where tonight seemed like one of those nights where you don't need the 200-point score to take down a GPP. I mean, I think we're looking at one of those nights where if you have a line get, you know, two goals or three goals, like that might be enough. Whereas on another slate, when you've got all the studs, you're going to need 3, 4, 5 points. I don't think, you know, there's a chance tonight that the scoring will be low enough where, you know, it's closer to soccer. You and I have talked about in soccer where if you don't have a goal, you know, it feels devastating. I don't think it's going to be quite to that degree, but I think scoring could be lower than usual on a slate like this. And
right. Yes, it'd be the type of thing where there's no 3-point bonus for anyone on the slate. And if you see early that, the line one scored and no one really has a shot bonus and they all have like 15 ish. It's like, well, you could go later and you could probably find 9 lines that have that, right? Like on the slate. So it may not be as big of a deal if there's no outsized performer. The thing about the Devils now that I like, and I've been playing the Devils on previous slates and doing well, is that their lines aren't mixed up anymore. Like they used to be all over the place. Now it's kind of oddly enough, the odd man out is typically Jack Hughes. Like he plays on the power play, but he's on line two with Hall and Holtz. If the straightforward approach is just to play the power play one, line one correlation of Nico, Meyer, Brat, Luke Hughes, and there are constructions where you can even get Jack Hughes in that lineup and get all 5 of them, depending on where you go else in the rest of your lineup. Is that like basically the way to go? I don't really see. I mean, could you take a shot on a one-off like Mercer, Palat? Could you play a line two that may be slightly lower owned than line one? Sure. But to me, if the Devils get a ceiling result, it's pretty much 4 guys.
Yeah. And I think what's nice, I mean, you mentioned Hughes is the odd man out, which is true. However, if they get there, he's probably involved. And so I view the top line and Hughes as sort of interchangeable, where you can play 2 out of the 4, 3 out of the 4, or all 4. Yeah, that you've got the even strength correlation with the top line. That's great. But I think Hughes is right there with him. And he's the most expensive, but he's also the most likely to, you know, have 8 shots and, blow open the slate. So, and then you've got Luke Hughes, who I've kind of ripped on.
Doesn't do anything unless he does something.
Well, so I've ripped on him most of the year. And then lately, you know, I mentioned this in the slate summary coming up, but he has been shooting the puck more. Now, it's a pretty small sample size. It's been like 4 or 5 games, but I think he's had 6 shots twice during that span, which I haven't looked, but I would imagine he probably had that, you know, twice the whole season coming up until this point. So that's promising. I still think that he's going to get there from assists rather than, you know, shots or block shots. But I think unlike the past where it's like you have to have 2 assists for him to pay off, if he's going to get 3 or 4 shots and an assist at 3.6K, I think he's more feasible than he has been when he was getting, you know, a shot or 2 a night.
And even more feasible as a one-off, because a lot of times, you know, in the past, you wouldn't want to play Luke Hughes as a one-off because the way he gets there is other people in the Devil scoring. So right. You kind of want them. At 3,600, like you're right, he gets a block, 2 shots, and an assist. He's in double digits, and what do you need for 3,600? You're good.
Right. And I have one more thing on Hughes. I was trying to see, I know they've gone 11-7 at times, which means his ice time will be down a tick when there's an extra defenseman. I don't think that's been the case over the last 1 or 2. So pay attention. As always, we'll post the lines in the Discord. If it's 11-7, you know, slight tick down, he's still going to be out there for the power play and at the end of the game if they need a goal. So that's all.
From a raw points perspective, are the top 2 teams on the slate, I mean, obviously not price considered, but just raw points, It would be, I'm assuming, the Wild, Minnesota, and Florida.
Yeah, I mean, if you go by implied goals, then technically it's the Islanders right now, which feels gross. They're on the second of a back-to-back, but they happen to be playing Chicago. So purely implied, there's kind of four teams up at the top: the Islanders, Devils, Panthers, and Flames, which you can tell how gross the slate is when you hear those teams. I mean, the Panthers are...
Well, I wanted to talk about the Flames from a value standpoint. It's kind of odd. Like, the Wild project actually, like, in our projections, like, they're the top projected team. But yeah. They don't have... And they're facing the Senators, so I understand why. But they're not... They don't have one of the... They still, what, have the fifth highest implied?
Yeah, I think the rationale is probably that their first line is going to generate a good bit of their production, you know, unlike some of these other teams like the Flames and Panthers and Islanders. To an extent, they've kind of loaded up their top line. So as a percentage of their goals, Minnesota one is probably, you know, higher than some of these other teams, you know, maybe not New Jersey anymore, but the Islanders have spread out their line, so they're a mess. The Panthers can always spread things out. So yes, even though their implied team total isn't quite as high, I think Minnesota one projects about as well as any line.
Can you tell me a little bit about someone on the Wild? Because remember, I only play Tuesdays and Thursdays, so sometimes I miss out on rotations or new players, players being out. What is a Declan Chisel?
Yeah, so he's kind of one of those specialist types. I mean, you can see he's on the third pair, so he's not going to play a ton. I mean, Luke Hughes isn't the worst comparison as far as fantasy. I'm not saying, like, skill set wise they're identical, but he's fine. If you're playing the top line, then you can absolutely play him. I don't think he's a must have by any means. I mean, looking at his game logs, he's been playing 16, 17, 18 minutes a night, which isn't great for a defenseman. He doesn't shoot a ton. He blocks more shots than somebody like Luke Hughes, but he doesn't have nearly as many points. So I would classify him as fine. If you want to play him, great. I don't think that he's going to burn you. I don't see a world where he has, like, the 3-point bonus from assists. You know, I think his ceiling is probably 2 assists and, you know, 3 shots and a block or two, which, I mean, at 3K is fine, but that's probably his ceiling.
Now, the Wild, obviously, if you play line one, which is fully power play correlated with Baldy, Kaprizov, and Eriksson Ek, very expensive combination. There's value to be had. I mean, on a slate where it's quite possible no team scores more than 5 goals, right? When no line scores more than two goals. I mean, if line one does it, I mean, there's value in raw points on a slate like this. Are you more inclined to just pay for the Wild, or are you more willing to take a shot on something like the Panthers, who are, you know, obviously cheaper, other than the fact that good luck finding, I mean, you have line one, Barkov, Tarasenko, and Reinhardt. I think Tarasenko, I think maybe, you know, maybe popular in cash games. And you have a very similar type of guy as Evan Rodriguez in line two. It feels like there's line one and line two are both viable, right? Hard to separate the two. And then you've got, like, multiple defenders of, like, well, you can play Brandon Montour, but you could also play Aaron Ekblad. You can play Gustav Forsling. He ends up with an assist. I mean,
yeah, I always,
you know me, but you know me, I'm much more likely to let the field try to guess if the ownership's going to go there. And then just grab the, if the Wild do well, then it's going to be these guys. If the Devils do well, it's going to be these guys. Yeah. I mean, we could talk about the Islanders also. I think they have a little bit of a lower ceiling in this matchup against the Blackhawks. It's a good matchup, but I don't consider this to be the most offensive, attack minded of games.
Right.
The Islanders are cheaper, but I mean, Barzal's now playing on line three. You got, you know, Dobson's priced up to 6,600. Practically anyone could. I mean, I've never done well with Anders Lee in my lineup ever. Yeah. So, like, are you more willing, if the question was asked, it's like, would you rather build a lineup that's barbelled with the wild and take line one, or go balanced and try to find the Panthers or Islanders goal. I know I'm kind of leading you in what I would rather do.
Yeah.
Unless you have a more hockey specific take on the Panthers and Islanders, where it kind of stands out that I'd much rather play this than that.
No, I mean, I lean towards the direction that you are as well. And a lot of it comes down to correlation and the matchup. I mean, this Islanders Blackhawks game feels like one that's going to end up like 3-1, 3-2. I mean, it's not going to get off the rails like the Wild game could. I mean, the Senators have the ability to score. So there's absolutely a chance that they push the Wild and that ends up a...
The Panthers are playing the Canadiens. Why are we attacking the Canadiens? We always can attack the Canadiens. Power play, horrible penalty kill. Why not?
Especially at home. I mean, they're not good. Don't get me wrong. But I think their goalies have proven that they can steal games. Montembeau is very capable. Now, once again, I mean, the Panthers have a 3.7 implied team total. So it's not like they're not expected to score. Once again, it's nailing down exactly who that's going to be. I'm not sure, you know, what we show right there is sort of the top line in power play. I think they've been mixing it up. I'm not sure. You know, I've seen Tarasenko on the third line. I've seen him on the first line. They're likely to change that up in the game if things don't go well, which is not what you want from a fantasy perspective. Whereas, you know, going back to the Wild, they're going to stick with that top line. I mean, worst case, Zuccarello swaps on there for a shift or two. But I mean, in reality, that top line is going to stay that top line. Whereas with Florida, I mean, the Islanders lines are just a disaster. I mean, on paper, they should project extremely well, but, you know, due to the lack of correlation, not as interested in them. But I mean, that's the case. I mean, you look, there are almost no spots tonight where you're going to feel great about it. That's just the reality is some of these, like I said, you got to hold your nose and say, what's the best scenario here?
Another spot that I never feel great with is when the Calgary Flames are chalky. Yep. They're at home against the Ducks, so obviously a great matchup. The problem I have with the Flames is it seems like no one plays outsized minutes, right? They kind of mix it up between the top three lines. They're choosing whether or not if you choose Uyghur, that means Rasmus Anderson has 20 points. And if you choose Anderson, that means Mackenzie Uyghur has 20 points. Their power play spreads across three lines. So like line one, only Huberdeau plays on the first power play, but their power play two unit actually does play like a decent amount. It's not like an 80-20, 70-30. It's more like 60-40. Kadri obviously has the highest ceiling out of all the players, but I'm typically not
priced up though. Yeah,
he's priced up to 6,700, and I'm not always enthused about playing Kuzmenko, who has absolutely no floor, and Pops Pacil, who has absolutely no ceiling.
Right.
Sharangovich is now on line three. And then Coronado and Zara, like these guys have like no floor. Like no one has a floor on Calgary other than maybe like line one has the and obviously they're more expensive defensemen. I just feel more compelled to just play line one. And a defense, one of Anderson or Uyghur, and could you take a shot in a Kuzmenko one-off? Absolutely. A Coronado one-off? Sure, absolutely. But I don't know if I want to pay up for Kadri, who's going to probably be double-digit owned at 6,700. When there's two things. One, there's so many ways for the Flames to score that he's sitting there and you're going, how do the Flames have four goals and Kadri has a snowflake? There's also so many ways for the Calgary Flames not to score at all.
Right. Yeah, I lean kind of mini stacks here, and I think you mentioned already that throwing a defenseman with one of those, so like a Kuzmenko Uyghur or a Huberdeau Uyghur, something like that, where you're not spending a ton of salary. You know, I would feel comfortable leaving Kadri out there if you want to throw him in, you know, plus Uyghur for a three-man, that's great. You can do the same thing with power play too. If you like that a little more and you wanted to go Backlund, Coleman, Anderson, that makes sense to me too. So due to the way that they have their line structured, I think power play correlation is probably as important or more than even strength correlation. And just kind of going with those duos, plus one of the defensemen that correlates on the power play. Because to your point, I think they're probably one of those 60-40 teams in the way that they split up their power play time, as opposed to some of the others who are, you know, 70-30, 80-20.
So I think that's slightly, those are the top spots. Those are the more owned spots on the slate. What is there anything else? I mean, there's a lot of games that I look at and go, I almost don't want anyone in the game, right?
Yeah, I think
see anything where I'm like to me, if a game is going to go off, is it Boston, Nashville? I know you're big into the Predators, but the one thing that I know about the Predators is that they're always going to shoot. I mean, they're like this is not a good matchup. I think the goalkeepers in this game may be more than like maybe 10% owned, but Pastrnak and Forsberg could. I mean, on an 8-game slate where we don't expect, you don't have the McKinnons and Matthews, you don't have 6K guys that have hat trick upside. I mean, if Pastrnak or Forsberg get the 5-shot bonus and 2 points, they may be the highest scorers on the slate. So like, why not take a shot here? I just don't know. I mean, obviously the Predators are a little bit cheaper. The Bruins are, I mean, their correlations are kind of a mess. Out of all the other games, are you feeling, I mean, that this is more of the game to target than like Capital Sabres or Canucks Vegas, you know, those two games?
Yeah, that's what stood out. When I looked at the slate, what stood out to me first was some of the stay away spots. And unfortunately, they're the best like real life games. And I agree that Vancouver Vegas game, that's going to feel like a playoff game. I mean, it's got 3-2, 2-1 kind of written all over it. And you're just hoping that you get the goals, you know, loaded up onto your line. So I agree, stay away. I do struggle with the Boston Nashville one, because that's one where both teams are kind of capable of shutting it down, and both teams are capable of, you know, opening it up a little bit. So I don't know what Nashville will want to try to do at home to like dictate, you know, as far as like the tempo. I agree with what you're saying that like Nashville won. What's nice about them compared to others, they correlate perfectly. They do have some upside. I mentioned this a few times last week in my write-up about Forsberg specifically, but really Nashville won, where ownership seems really sensitive to the matchup for them. And this would fall into the bad category. And so like, if they were playing a bad team, they'd be 20-25% on this slate. They're playing Boston, who's obviously a good team, but not, I mean, I think the perception of them is that they're this defensive stalwart who never let in any goals. And that's not really reality. So I think they're intriguing. I'm not sure if I can get there with my single entry or three teams, but if you told me when the cards flip over at the end of the night that Nashville had, you know, Forsberg ends up with 2 goals and 5 shots, to your point, that could be a slate winner. Whereas a normal night, you know, that's nice, but not a must have. So I'm intrigued by it. I agree with the Capitals and Sabres. I'm probably more likely to look into which of those goalies I would feel good about. I mean, sure, like the top line for either of those is capable. I mean, Ovechkin or Tage Thompson, like they could absolutely have a pair of goals, but it's also a pretty low, you know, Vegas total in that game for a reason.
Right. I mean, the only positive about the Capital Sabres game is I think both these teams are capable of falling apart.
Yeah.
Right.
No, that's fair. So,
I don't know which one it would be. Right. I mean, it's the type of where next thing they score, one team scores 4 goals in the first period, and you're like, oh, they just completely fell apart. Right. In one of the periods, even though it is a low total, but they don't, I mean, these teams do not project well. And especially, I've had enough experience with our projections here. When John Carlson doesn't project well, I know the Capitals are, I mean, because typically Carlson projects well and Alec Tuch projects well. I mean, like when I see typical projection favorites under like low projected, like to me that sends a sign of like, well, normally like I'm very similar to like the bat, right? In MLB. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's like in years past, it's like Joey Gallo doesn't project well at all. So like he must be like the most awful play of awful plays. Rudan Odor that isn't being jammed into 87% of my lineup. So he must be in a really bad spot today. And the same thing, the reverse applies also, right? Where, you know, it's like, oh, this pitcher projects well and the bat typically hates that pitcher. It's like, oh, that's probably a good sign.
Right.
So,
yeah.
So that applies on this slate in the positive. This doesn't feel like a fun slate, Taylor.
No. So one more thing on Washington and Buffalo, both of those teams, I'm really sensitive to who is starting in goal. So a lot of people will argue goalie is goalie. It doesn't matter. And I think there's some merit to that, but the ones we have projected right now are both good goalies. If their backups play, so
if it's Kemper and Comrie,
I have a lot more interest in this game. Now, if both of these start under for sure, but I mean, the backups are horrendous. So yeah, if it's either of those, I would say give a big bump. If it's these two starters, I'm interested in the goalies, not the skaters.
So the NHL contest today, not very good.
I remember last week I said
the contest's gonna. I'm like, okay, it's NHL today. And open it up, and it's like, oh, what? I know MLB. I love MLB, but I'm also 10K to fine. Oh, it's 10K to first, but like it's
like 35% of the
places. I mean, like almost all the money's up there. So it doesn't make me all that compelled to play. I'm playing three lineups, playing $150 or something, and that's it. Everything else is baseball props. So like it's like, oh, I'll make my NHL lineups a half an hour before lock, and I'll be done. Yeah. Are you doing the baseball?
No, I'll probably pick up after NHL is done. It's generally I wait till have the one season to focus on while I'm doing content and everything, and then once hockey's over, then I'll pile into the MLB.
Hockey streets. Regular season, or you also consider the playoffs?
I'll have to see what the contests are like. I don't know if we'll be doing content or not through the playoffs. Honestly, don't remember. But I'll be following along regardless, and probably playing if the contests are decent, which they normally are. If I'm not doing content for the playoffs, then I'll probably go ahead and start playing MLB.
I've been very well MLB props wise. Very well. Yesterday, the home run props came through. I posted even on Twitter. I took 9. Lamont Wade didn't play, so that doesn't count. But 2 out of 8. But the 2 were, you know, +7. These are home run props. So like if you hit like 20%, 15-20%, I mean, you're wildly profitable. So it's not like the type of thing where it's like, oh, you only went 2 out of 8. Like if you bet like whatever your unit size, 2 out of 8, you were up like 9 units yesterday. So like it's like that is the whole point of home run props. You shouldn't be betting $500 on these things, even if you could even get it down. So I promised earlier, this is what I the non-weird one. These two are both in the same game. Okay. So I have Jazz Chisholm +600 for the Marlins. Okay. And then the other one is the weird one. And it's against Lizardo. It's on the Angels. Logan O'Hop +750.
I'm going to be honest. I have not heard. Yeah. I have not, like I said, I've not been engaged for the last few days, and I don't remember him from last year. So no idea who that is.
Right. Well, that's exactly. And remember, this is more of an advertisement for the bat projections than for, you know, it's Blender's takes. It's like, no, there's no takes. I just look at the numbers and look at the lines, and this is off. And this has like, well, what's the edge? Let me take a look. The edge on that bet as of right now is a little over 8%. Right? No, that's it. Oh, hold on. Now, a little less than 13%. Right? 12.89% +750 on FanDuel. So if you want to take a shot, use one of your bonus bets if you're on FanDuel. If you want to come along for the ride. Do I feel all that confident of Logan O'Hop? No. But I also don't feel confident.
That's why it's priced
the Flames in my lineup either. So it's the same thing.
So Moneyball just posted in the Discord, Jordan Greenway won't play, which normally would not be that impactful. However, he's been on Power Play 1 lately. So my guess is maybe Dylan Cousins would hop up into that spot. If not Cousins, Skinner. Maybe. Yeah, maybe Jeff Skinner. Those would probably be the most likely candidates. So
he posted Benson to power play one.
Oh. Okay. That's interesting because previously Benson was not even on the second power play unit. So I love it when teams do that. They didn't think you were worthy.
2,900. Is that going to be the?
Yeah. Once again, if Kemper is in that, then I have tremendous amount of interest. If it's Lindgren, I still have some with that value. But
2,900. What could go wrong?
Yeah. Exactly.
What could go wrong with Zach Benson, Jock?
He's burned me multiple times. I bet you I've played him three times all year, and I think he had a donut in two of three of those.
He's the poor man's Jamie Benn.
Very right. Poor man's, because Jamie Benn has been a rich man. If you have been playing him, you are a rich man, because that guy has been remarkable.
I'm just talking about, I view these guys as it's the winger from the third line that does nothing and gets power play time. Yeah. So maybe he could score a goal or two, but a lot of times he sits there with nothing. That's right. Fair. You just go, how did this guy play 16 minutes and not do anything? Right.
Yep. Yep.
Okay. So Taylor, you have the slate summary coming out for premium members later today with the expert survey. You could get a premium membership here by clicking on the link in the description. We have a deal right now. 6 months of combo premium. You get all the sports. Get everything, all you can eat, all the projections, all lineup HQ, Sim Labs. Get access to all of our tools. A lot of other places, they make you pay extra for these little things. It's like, no, it's all in one package. You get, in the 6 month combo premium, $250 off. That's a big, big price tag right off. You could use all of our projections. You can download everything that you want on our site. So if you have your own process, you have Excel. You know, we have all the data here for you to use. Click on that link in the description. If you want to try us out for 3 days, $19.99. So if you want to play tonight's NHL slate, MLB slate, NBA slate, right, for the next 3 days, golf is coming up. You have obviously all the props and pick 'em stuff. So if you're going to be on Prize Picks, Underdog, all the sports books, you can use everything here for $20 for 3 days, right? That's less than the amount of money I have on Logan O'Hop to hit home run. Right, because I have $25 on the home run prop. But Taylor, anything else that's coming out for premium members?
No, I think that's it. I think I'm gonna get out early today. Yesterday the slate summary was late because I thought I had submitted it and I didn't. So it should be out nice and early today. Expert survey.
So I hope if you join the DraftKings contests, if you don't take first place, you might as well just not even bother playing. Right, 10K to first, right? It's like Glengarry Glen Ross. I always say that these types of contests are like, you know, first place gets a brand new Cadillac. Second place, set of steak knives. Third place, you're fired, right? Like it's always a set of steak knives. You come in fourth place in these types of contests. It's like I lost by 1.8 points, and that was a difference of like $9,900. And it's like, what kind of stupid payout structures are
these? Yep. But I would also be upset if they had like 5K to first, if they had a balance. Like, I'm kind of okay with it. If the prize pools are going to be that
don't
small
get me
in general.
Started on that, Taylor. I complained about it. This was like 3 years ago. I complained about those types of payout structures. They finally listened to me on a Friday in baseball like 3 years ago. They said, okay. Bladder payout structure. It's going to be 20K to first instead of 50K to first. And I'm like, okay, finally, I could enter more lineups. I could play this. And of course, that's the day I win first place.
Yep. No, that's how I won. I won one of the top shelves earlier in the year, which was the 333. And yeah, it was the night where it was, you know, 10 instead of 15 or 20. And it's like, yep, that's inevitably what's going to happen. But I view it differently when the top prize. Like baseball and others that have huge prize pools, I think those should be spread out. I'm spoiled where like it doesn't move the needle too much for me. It doesn't get my blood flowing if the top prize were whatever. So I'm enough of a degenerate that I need
blood flowing. I don't care about blood flowing.
Hey, That's why I
just
do
don't
it.
Wanna, I just don't like losing 90% on slates too often. I mean, like, just it just becomes like I don't like the downward graph of come on, please, ding.
Well, that's what the props are for. The props are for slowly, you know, keeping the bankroll alive, grinding away, and then you've got, you know, the GPPs and stuff to hopefully hit the big ones.
Right, but I mean, just in between the big ones, it's just you're sitting there going, just right? People think like, what are you doing wrong? It's like you're not doing anything wrong. Right. I saw a post on Reddit yesterday. So I go there, I just lurk, right? Because I see the stupid. The person posted that he's playing. What is he doing wrong in DFS? He's playing GPPs. He hasn't cashed. I'm assuming like one lineup. Haven't cashed in 3 days.
3 days.
No, and then I looked and I go, the contest pays 25% of the field. It pays 25% of the field. It doesn't pay 75% of the field, which means on average, all things being equal, you should only expect to cash once every 4 days.
Right. Yep.
Like that's the expectation. If you do anything more than that, that's an aberration. And that's cashing. I mean, I'm not even saying that should even be your goal. Your goal is to win first place and catch less often. But I'm not even going by that. But just simple mathematics.
Math is hard.
People
are
like, oh, I haven't cashed in GPPs and I haven't hit a home run prop in 4 days. It's but they're like plus 800s. Like you hit one a week and you're profitable, right? So like it's people just assume it's like, oh, I got a 12% edge. That means it has to happen. No, it just happens 12% more often than the price that they're giving you. So like you put down $50, you're talking about an expected profit of like $8, right?
Yep.
Over the long run, right? But people look, it's like, oh, why haven't I hit today? It's like that's math. It's the mathematics. It's not particular to DFS. It's just that's literally what math is.
Yep. You see that with parlays all the time where people are like, oh, you know, they'll have a 5 or 6 leg parlay and one of their like minus 250 teams loses. And they're like, oh, how could I possibly lose? You know, it's like, well, if you have
you possibly five, lose 70%, it's only 30% of the time you lose that one.
Right. And if all five of those are that, then, you know, your chances of hitting that are like 10%, which is why it's priced the way it is. So, yeah, people do not understand math. It's tough.
Yeah, but they're the ones that pay for the ones that do understand math.
That's true. Although even those of us who understand math, it can be challenging at times.
And swings are still, I mean, from a mental health perspective, though I still agree with it. But
yeah,
but sometimes it's like I hit two SGPs yesterday because I use our projections because the sites still give me bonuses like SGP boosts for NBA and NHL, even though I'm focused pretty much solely on MLB. And I just go to the prop. I go to the prop model on RotoGrinders, which uses our NBA projections and NHL projections. And it's like, in the top 20, is there anything for three from one game? That's it. And then I just kind of just throw them together. And then I did that yesterday for basketball and NHL, hit them both. I needed that Mika Zibanejad point late.
Oh yeah, I saw that garbage time point. Those are the best.
So I mean. Use the stuff here at RotoGrinders. It's literally what I use. Taylor, sometimes people ask me, it's like, I know you're on the shows. I know you say that you use the stuff, but you must have like other stuff. I go,
yep.
I may double check with other stuff. I may sanity check some things. Something looks off and I go, in NBA, something like, oh, I there's no way I have a 72% edge here. Like there's right. Something's wrong. It's like, oh, okay. We have his minutes at like 14, and I check around the industry, and everyone else has it like 20.
Right.
So I'm like, yeah, maybe this under isn't a 72% edge. Maybe we're going to be. And then next thing you know, an hour or two later, our minutes projection is like 19. And it's like, good thing I didn't, right. 3 hours ago. Right. So there's some amount of double checking and stuff, but in general, this is what I do. Right. And I share it with you here in the morning. Mondays through Fridays, 11 o'clock Eastern. Tomorrow, by the way, Grinders Live. It won't be this show. I'll still be here, right? You can't get away from me, people, okay? I'll still be here at 11 in the morning, but it'll be with Dean. Squirrel Patrol will be on also for Grinders Live. We have tomorrow's baseball slate is early, right? Most of the games are in the afternoon, so I'll be covering that tomorrow. Then that's followed up by Kevin Roth and Crunch Time right after that. Tonight, obviously, Grinders Live, Crunch Time. But, you know, Thursday, I'll be back with Tim for NHL. Friday with Squirrel Patrol for MMA. So come back soon. Hit that like button on your way out the door, please. And I'll see you tomorrow talking about all things you're thinking about. Daily Fantasy Props and Pick'em on Roto Grinders today.